All right. It is DanCast for episode... I don't know what episode we're on. I think we're on episode 67. Last time I screwed up and I said 67. I don't know. Do people even make notes of these anymore? Probably not. But I will say today is January 25th, 2015, and it's a nice Sunday afternoon, so I'm knocking this out. That's pretty much it. All right, see you, everybody. This is, this morning I listened to Scott's latest episode, and I am glad to hear him, back at it again. He says he'll probably do one a month. You know what? I think that's probably, a good schedule. When we were in the thick of this stuff, I was doing this stuff, once a week, and I'm still trying to do that because I still think there's value in it. I don't know for you guys, but for me, being able to, talk into a microphone and keep up at it. And I noticed that when I hadn't done it for a while, it was difficult to get back into. And what I mean by that was, when this was really going, it was it was kind of easy to just start talking into a microphone after you have been at it for like 2 or 3 months. But when you take off even like a month, I felt like it was just very difficult to get back into. So I think I am glad to hear Scott back at it again. I have my first follow-up with the feedback with Scott. Yesterday, I put up a video of Scott and I talking on a DanCast / ScottCast about wrestlers. I put that on Facebook. I didn't know if I should have done that or not, because I wanted to share that with people because I thought it was one of my favorite parts of the conversation last time I was on ScottCast, and I wanted other people to enjoy that. I don't know if they did. I think only me and Scott cared about it. But I made a slideshow of it in video and uploaded it to Facebook to see what would happen. And doesn't look like anything's happened, to be honest. Let's see. Scott and social studies. I did not know that Scott taught social studies. I had gathered that from the other conversations I have had with him, both through the podcasts and one-on-ones, that he was like the muscle in the school. So like, if a kid's talking shit, they bring out Scott the Hammer Marshall, and he comes in and kicks a kindergartner in the balls for acting up. That ought to teach you not to violently outlash. We gotta keep these violent kids in check with violence. I thought that's not necessarily what Scott was doing. I thought that was sort of what he was up to. Not that it's violence, because sometimes you gotta crack down. I thought that's what Scott was doing. Turns out, not the case. Now he's teaching social studies. That is a rough thing, I would think, of particularly for, I don't know about you guys, but in high school, when I studied social studies, you know, history, they called it social studies, but they really shouldn't. They should have called it like history. And social studies, I didn't really get into. History, I think I could get into a lot more. In college, I took a Western civilization course and did shitty at it. But I think it's only when you start getting a little older, maybe into like your mid-20s, where you can start putting the dots together and begin to see the value in something like social studies or history. So that's just it. Like Scott was talking about keeping up with current events. I did not watch the State of the Union either. I didn't watch State of the Union. I watched like a highlight reel, and the highlights appear to be just snark and things that Obama had said that people who were Republicans didn't like. And that tends to be what's shared online. Just things that people who would identify as liberals would share, like, yeah, that my president's got my back. They think like that. And honestly, I think that's why nothing's going to ever be resolved. I think that's why there's always going to be a conflict. And we grew up in a time where, you know, we had a Republican president, so our college days were filled with, like, oh, Bush is fucking up. And now I wonder what it's like on college campuses if students are like, oh, Obama's doing great. Because it's clear there are still some issues. Scott was talking about how the Affordable Care Act is not that great, at least the implementation that he's got of it. And from what I know, if your company does not offer health insurance, they are fined by the government to, and that basically supplements the Affordable Care Act. So Scott's employer is basically, they did the math and they figured it costs less to just fuck these people over than it does for us to get our own health insurance and have them go through and have the employees go through the state or government to get it done. So that's all I really know about the State of the Union. My barber, I got my hair cut last week, and he was talking about it. He's like, you know, this Obama guy's saying the right things, but I just kept thinking, how's he going to pay for it? How's he going to afford it? Where's the money going to come from? And you know where the money's going to come from? It's going to come from taxes. Do I sound like I know what the fuck I'm talking about? You can pass anything, I think, and if you say that someone else will pay for it. Or at least you can get a lot of push behind that, which is basically how the Affordable Care Act came to be. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Scott was talking about having the flu. I got the flu shot. I don't remember if I talked about that last week. And the thing I had recalled, I had never gotten a flu shot. And the thing I remember after getting the flu shot, or even right before getting the flu shot, was just the amount of hedging of the bets. Here, okay, setting the scene. I got my flu shot done at fucking Target. A Target is where I got my flu shot done. The medical apex of his current civilization. Fucking Target. You get your photos developed. You get your fucking flu shot. You get those fucking chlorine tablets that you put in your fucking toilet. That shit. Got that done at Target. And I got the shot. I don't believe in that spray shit. Inhale your flu vaccination. I just remember I wanted to call her a nurse, but it's the pharmacist. She was just like, now if you get sick after this, it's not the flu shot, because something you already had, you can't get sick from this blah. So they just kind of hedge their bets, like, don't come back here and fucking complain that you got the flu from the flu shot. And the reason I had never gotten the flu shot was because I had this purity stance, which was like, oh, well, I've never gotten the flu shot before. I never get the flu. So I don't know why I should get a flu shot. I just wash my hands a lot and don't touch my face. And then I read something on Reddit that was self-reported doctor that's like, listen, all these people talking about getting the flu, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Because the flu is not you're sick for a couple days. The flu is you're sick for 2 weeks and you wish you were fucking dead. And within 2 days, you'll wish you would have gotten that flu shot. It's not likely you'll get the flu shot. It's not likely you'll get the flu. But if you do get the flu, you'll wish to Christ you got the flu shot. So I read that and went, okay, that's a pretty good case for getting the flu shot. So I got the flu shot this year and haven't gotten sick. There's something going around my office within the past week, so I'm glad I got the flu shot. Whether or not it's going to fuck up my immune system. See, this is the kind of fear, and it's why measles is coming back right now, because of people going like, well, I don't want to put something in my body if it's not going to do anything for me, basically. It's just going to ruin the purity of my bloodstream, I guess. But measles is coming back, so get a fucking flu shot. Vaccinate yourself. My insurance covered it, and I guess that's good. I just got, in the past, a little concerned, because when you do get the flu shot, first of all, I know at work, we had gotten solicitations from, like, Rite Aid, where they would set up a flu shot clinic at my office, so that for people who wanted to get the flu shot, they could just do it on their lunch break, and that would be that. But, you know, they sell it to you as a service you're providing, so there's always, like, this fear that, you know, it's like doctors and mechanics. I don't know enough about what you're trying to sell me to know if you're trying to fuck me over. And we never got the flu shot clinic, I guess, because you can get the flu shot anywhere. You can get it anywhere. You can get it at fucking Target, like I did. And I did get it at Target, as I just mentioned. So I'm not sick. That's good. I hope Scott, I hope he didn't get the flu shot, because if he did get the flu shot and he still got the flu, this is the year, I guess, where the flu shot is not nearly as effective. And that's not necessarily a good thing, just because it's, they guess which flu is going to happen within a year of it, of the flu actually occurring. I'm adjusting my microphone here. What else? Scott was talking about Facebook trends and how they're like Twitter. And I know you guys don't tweet, and I talked in a previous episode about how I'm kind of giving up tweeting. I'll dip into it every once in a while to see what people are talking about, but it's like maybe once every couple or few days. Because the thing on Twitter is I feel like it's more for people who want to be famous. And I don't remember if I talked about this before, but Facebook having trends is a lot like, Facebook is trying to become Twitter faster than Twitter can become Facebook. And what I mean by that is Facebook is, you know, the destination for, like, family and friends to get together, they comment, they share photos, and Twitter is more just like Wild West as far as it is what you, whatever you want it to be. And some people have conversations. I don't anymore, because people are so willing to have fights. Well, Facebook's like that too. And you can see what's going on now is Twitter is trying to do more of the algorithmic stuff that Facebook has done in the past. And so once you get down to that, it's like, why bother then? If you're just going to try to become conglomerate all these things that your competitor does better, because some people say they're not competing, but they fucking are. They are. Because I don't want to have to look at 15 goddamn social networks. You know what's funny is I've been using Facebook more and more for, like, as like a cheapo exchange server. And what I mean by that is I have groups on there for my nonprofit stuff, my theater stuff. I say nonprofit like it fucking matters, but it's not. It's a theater group that is a nonprofit because they don't make money. Sorry. And it's just where everybody is. And maybe I'm trying to trump up my philanthropic efforts. Let's see, what else? Core audio format is another thing Scott talked about. That implies to me that Greg is recording in high def if he's using core audio format, because Wave and AIFF have like a 2 gigabyte or 4 gigabyte limit, which you would never run up against if you were doing the standard, you know, 44 or 24 bit recording format. So Greg, I assume, is like recording in 96 kilohertz or 192 kilohertz, 24 bit, and he's running into that pretty fast if he's recording lots and lots of stuff. That's my feedback on core audio format. Scott mentioned To Be a Man, that book. He was talking about how manliness is, what was the word he used? Shamed? And was that the right term? I fucked that up. And how, see, this is related to a book that I've been reading called The Way of Men by Jack, I want to say Donaghy. That's not the guy's name. Jack Donaghy's from 30 Rock. And in The Way of Men, I'm not that much into it, maybe a few chapters, but it's all about things like, okay, what do we mean when we talk about strength and manliness and things like that? And a lot of what is spoken about in, written about in The Way of Men is about tribal groups and how in those days, the definition of manliness was dependent upon a man's approval from other men, because there was one thing like what was it? The aggressiveness Scott was talking about of manliness is something that for ever since the dawn of humankind, that is how people have survived, is because of people who would, typically men who would like defend the borders of the tribe. And now we don't see that so much in modern civilization. I mean, we do, we have like armed forces and things like that, that still exist. Nation states that are defending the borders. And, but everyday life, you don't typically think of it that way. And so now there's this movement that's going against that, that's pushing for less aggressiveness. I don't know. Not to be like a chicken hawk sort of thing, but I wonder, like, as soon as you show that could be seen as weakness from other, from opposition, let's say, and as soon as you let your guard down, they're going to fuck you up. Maybe. I don't know. In everyday life, yeah, don't be aggressive, but you got to, you know, stand up for yourself. And you don't necessarily need to do that by force. In fact, I think in a lot of instances, if you try to push things through by force, you're not going to get what you want. Because people go, this guy's a dick, and don't trust him. On the other hand, some people will believe, like, you know, they want to be safe. And, you know, that's the idea behind, like, things like the police and the military, is we have them do these jobs, like, defend, you know. I mean that in the purest sense. I don't mean to get into any sort of, like, political thing, but you give these people a role that says, hey, you put yourself in danger, so, to defend, you know, the borders, the tribe, and you know, however you define that tribe, like the United States of America, or the state of New York, or the planet Earth. Got to defend the planet Earth against the Zerg. That's how that, in that way, that's how that manliness, at least in the Way of Men book, is defined. So I might be interested in reading Scott's book, To Be a Man, because I like... People don't like to have this conversation, and we dove into it a bit last year, and it created some friction, and I like to read other people's opinions on it, particularly if they're smarter than I am. They had a thing in Germany. There was some thing in the news about how this guy was pissing on standing up. He was pissing standing up, and the splash of the piss had ruined, like, this marble floor around the toilet, so he didn't get his security deposit back when he moved out of this apartment. Now, and what was the news? The judge had ruled that this guy is entitled to get his security deposit back because he's not responsible for, like, what was it? Like, the wear and tear of this marble floor because people piss while they're standing up. And so this article kind of dove back into the idea of pissing while standing up is the norm. People are pushing back against that, trying to get you to piss while sitting down. And, you know, if your lady catches you pissing while sitting down, she may say that's what she wants, but as soon as she says that, she's going to probably not respect you anymore. So, I locked the door. What else is in the news? I think that's as much, for follow up for today. Just in general, it's 20 minutes of follow up, basically. I'm glad Scott's back. I like hearing from him. You know, we talked maybe a couple few weeks ago, and, it's good to hear my friend's voice. Thought I heard a noise outside. Okay. Topics. Other topics I saw in the news. Tangerine Dream. Edgar Froese? How do you say that guy's name? Edgar Froese? He passed away this past week. He died. People say passed away, like they float away. Or they... I don't know. They don't want to say people died. This guy's dead. Tangerine Dream, one of my favorite electronic groups, but not in the new agey style. They did have some recordings in the 70s that were just like ambient stuff that I don't particularly care for, and particularly what I care about is they did some great stuff in the 80s, a lot of cool 80s soundtracks. They did the soundtrack for Firestarter. They did the soundtrack for Legend. I liked their stuff up until like the mid-90s, and then I kind of lost touch with it. I know they did the Grand Theft Auto V soundtrack. I added that to my Beats music playlist. Thinking about switching to Spotify. Beats music playlist. So Tangerine Dream was just such a formative... You know, when you think electronic groups, you think Kraftwerk. I think Tangerine Dream fits in there. Also, Tangerine Dream, I did not know this till I started looking up the name. A variety of marijuana. I did not know that. So, some of you may be very familiar with Tangerine Dream. Not the band. Group. Let's see, what else? I've been doing some screencasts. I did some stuff on Microsoft Word using that because people don't know what the fuck they're doing. I swearing a lot today. Maybe I should lay off the F-bombs. I do that sort of stuff maybe just to try to see if I can explain that, because I wonder about... One of the things I started looking into for 2015 was alternative income sources. So what could I do on the side to supplement my income? Not that I'm like hurting, but I am interested in like passive income sources. And sometimes what people do is one thing that's popular this day and age is they can record screencasts and then sell those screencasts, package them as like tutorials, and to people who don't know how to use software. Problem is, when you're getting into something like Microsoft Word that everyone uses, if they don't know how to use Microsoft Word, no way they're going to know how to use a screencast. Like, particularly when I view Microsoft Word as like basic computer stuff, because when I was coming up, you'd learned how to use Microsoft Word in high school. Now, I don't mean like, you know, like every nook and cranny of Microsoft Word, but you know, like, enough to get started and get yourself on the path. And the people who seek out, like, Microsoft Word tutorials are just so far off. One example I had was using page breaks. So, even my girlfriend does this, where if she wants to start a new page, so just slam the enter key a ton of times, and then she might make some edits up top, and that'll fuck everything up. But if you do this thing called a page break, it tells the Word document, hey, at this point, just go right to the next page. A lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of people don't know how to use things like styles. A lot of people don't know about building a table of contents. And there's even some stuff in Microsoft Word that I've never touched because it never had that features, like bibliographies. I don't remember ever touching the bibliography features, even when I was in college. I don't even know if they had bibliography features back then. And going into these nooks and crannies of what Microsoft Word has to offer, it tells you more about how things have changed so much, because Microsoft Word is for the page, is for paper, it's for print. And more, that's not the case. Like, if you dive into the Pages app for macOS and iPad, probably iPad, they don't seem to have a mail merge feature, which is things like form letters, labels for envelopes, things like that. Because it was developed in the 21st century, and Word was developed in the late 20th century, where that sort of stuff still applied, still mattered. So that's why I still keep Word around, because you still have to keep doing that stuff. Am I talking way too much about Microsoft Word? I did one on the game, a screencast on the game Threes, just to try it out. I've been using this software called ScreenFlow to do those. Turns out you can do the same sort of thing with just the regular built-in QuickTime player in Mac OS X. So that's that. What else is new? I shared some videos of Gaston at Disney World. Gaston, the thing I loved about the Gaston clips, if you go on YouTube and you look for Gaston at Disney World, you'll see these people. Sometimes it's just the same guy over and over again, and he does this great job, like being a prick, which is exactly how you want Gaston to be. Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. You need this guy to be chauvinist. There's one video where the guy's talking to, like, to a little girl, and he's like, "Okay, smile like you're making me a sandwich." Stuff like that. Which, if I said that to my fucking office, bad things would happen. But this guy can say it because he's Gaston, and you expect Gaston to say that. You expect Gaston to say that, and so he's given these people a memory of a lifetime. Remember that time we went to Disney World, and Gaston told you that you should only be working on cooking and cleaning because you're a little girl? It's interesting to me that this guy, character Gaston, is so reviled, so hated in the movie. But they, for whatever reason, the Walt Disney Company had decided, we need this guy to be a mainstay at our amusement parks. To the point where he can say whatever the hell he wants, as long, you know, he's clean about it, which is good. He's just a real prick, real chauvinist. He shows up other dudes, which I think is excellent. I love it, because it's just so in character. And people love it. People love a villain. They love a good villain. And I think that's enough for today. Again, this has been the January 25th, 2015 episode of DanCast. It may be the 67th episode, I don't know. And to sum up, glad Scott's back at it. Hope to hear from the rest of you soon. And take care. Have a great Sun. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention, because I bought cigars. And don't know what the hell I'm doing. I am Saturday. I'm meeting an older gentleman I know, and we are going to a cigar bar on Saturday and fucking smoking cigars and drinking, I guess, cappuccino all day on a Saturday afternoon. So this guy's gonna have to take me to school a bit. I have a plastic bag of cigars. I got 9 of them left, and I don't even know where to start. I got to buy a humidor, I guess, and it's cool when you run into someone, because I've worked with this guy through the theater group for years, but, you know, never have taken the effort to get to know him personally. And one of the things I'd like to develop this year is just like being able to find common ground with people I work with. And so this guy, I think people find him to be a little out of time, I guess, a little, maybe an oddball, but he's really into like cigars. He's really into smoking pipes and pipe tobacco and things like that. So I told him I bought these cigars and because I said, I bought these cigars and I was thinking of you because I understand that you're quite a cigar aficionado. So he's like, oh, you know what? I'll email you all this, my favorite cigars and take it from there. So he emails me and he's like, these are the brands I like. These are the kinds of stogies I like. Here's how the word stogie came into vernacular. And he's like, why don't we get together some Saturday afternoon and we'll fucking smoke cigars? So I said, great, sounds awesome. And it's a little out of my comfort zone. This place is in Queensbury. It's like some sort of cigar and coffee joint. The kind of place that sells high-octane coffee. Like, you piss black after having a cup of their coffee, I think. So, I may be dead this time next week. But I thought that was cool. It goes into one of my goals here on out. Not specifically for 2015, but one of the things I thought of is like, I need more mentors. And I thought I addressed this on a previous episode, like maybe months and months ago, where like, I don't know enough people who have done what I want to do. And I view that as less like teach, it's more like a shortcut to like becoming a decent, in this case, cigar smoker. And, not that I need to build up this skill, but I just thought this would be a fun thing to do once a month. Maybe on Saturdays when it's nice out. I made the mistake of smoking one indoors. I'll never do that again because it stank up my place for like 4 days. I had to do laundry to get the smell out. I had to cook onions and garlic to get the smell out. I had to burn food. My place usually smells like food, like the last thing I cooked. Like this, it might smell like bacon right now, which would be better than the smell of a cigar from like a day or two ago. And the cigar smell is not something that you enjoy when you're just a spectator. It's kind of gross when you're just on the outside of it, but when you're in the cigar smoking activity, I don't know how to explain it. How is it that something can be so fucking gross, like butt sex, when it's not you doing it? I'm not saying I want to have butt sex, but I'm, you know, an analogy is what they call those things. So, cigars, smoking cigars with this guy. I should delete all that. Okay. This has been Dancast for January 25th, the year 2015, and I will talk to you all later.